What's up, everyone? GM from the homestead. G-A-G-E-G-N, if it's that time of day for you, right? I know I'm not the only one that's waking up. I know some of you are getting ready to go to bed. So if you're having your coffee with me, that's great. If you're having your whiskey on the rocks or straight up or however you take your evening relaxing, yeah, welcome. I'm glad you're here with us. We got a couple of guests today. So I'm hoping for a decent space here. Yieldmost, I see you already here. Why you gotta laugh right away like I'm a pleb, Osmo Kate? anyhow, yeah, I am hoping for a decent space. I can hope, right? Not always gonna go the way I want it to, but I can hope for a decent space. Anyhow, I see you here, Yieldmost. Let me send out some invites for speakers. Yieldmost, I got you coming up first. For those of you joining in, we should have RAM exchange around the 30-minute mark. I told them, you know, you're welcome to join the space and hang out as long as you want. But if you're busy or what have you, of course, right, plan to join a little bit later. I got to get to Yieldmost first because I couldn't get them up last week while we were talking with GG about Tory Punks and all that stuff. So anyhow, welcome, everybody. Good morning. Good morning. Hello, Geckies. Thanks for joining. I see the Metawawa handle. I see GG. Thank you all for being here. I see you down there, Oracle Stars, as well. If anybody wants to just take a moment real quick and retweet the space, please grab the little chat bubble down there. The post is there. Just go ahead and retweet that out, please. Repost it, like it, interact in the comments. If you really want to do the pleb a favor, just tag Zachy, please, in the comments, because I've been hounding him in the Celestine Sloth server about just coming into one of these spaces once, just for shits and giggles of it. So just tag Zachy if you want to help the pleb out and, like, you know, get the word out a little more. But yeah, anyhow, I guess let's get it rolling. I'm trying to get my bird quieted down. So once we have some actual discussion going here, yeah, I don't have to listen to him. It's an active bird morning here this time of year. So he's all wild. So bear with me, y'all. Sorry about that. Anyways, Yieldmost, how's it going? How are you? GM or GA? Who do I have? Who am I speaking with today?
Hey, guys. Good morning. GM, GM. This is BBU from Yieldmost. I do marketing and business development at Yieldmost, and I'm glad to be here. Thank you for having us on. We've been super pumped for this.
Thank you for being here. Thank you for being here, BBU. I'm glad to have you. You said when we were DMing about maybe having you as a guest, there's some big community updates you wanted to share. I saw you were in a space last week. I saw a repost of it that you had dropped some big alpha in it. So I'm assuming there's some updates here this morning. But if anybody doesn't know what Yieldmost is about or what Yieldmost does, you want to tell us what the purpose of Yieldmost is?
Definitely, definitely. I think for most cosmonauts, Yieldmost to them is the amazing app that helps them auto-compound their staking rewards. And we've been doing this for the last 3 years, completely non-custodial. So we've never, ever had people lock up their funds or, you know, submit to some sort of lock period by auto-compounding with us. Everything is completely non-custodial. We've done this for the last 3 years, and we're currently working on sort of like the V2 of Yieldmost, where we're going beyond basic auto-compounding to letting people do so much more with their staking rewards. So if you've ever seen our Juno Outpost, or if you haven't seen our Juno Outpost, you should definitely check that out. And basically what it helps you do is taking your staking rewards and doing so much more with them, you know, more than just auto compounding. So with our Juno outpost, you're able to take like a portion of your Juno staking rewards, and you can say, hey, Yodmos, I want you to take 10% of my Juno staking rewards every week, and I want you to swap it for USDC, and I want you to send it to this address for me. And the outpost literally does that. No questions asked, and it's still completely non-custodial. And we do this with OddZ, where for every action a user chooses, we're able to generate like very custom and very specific OddZ grants that, you know, just says, okay, this is what the user wants you to do, and you do nothing like over this or nothing besides this. And we have this functionality active on Juno right now, but in the coming months, it's also coming to Osmosis, we're coming to Cosmos Hub, and we're coming to Megaloo as well. So there's so much exciting stuff coming on that front.
So instead of just having your staking reward compounded back to the same like staked bag, you can redirect that yield to other
and do assets. So much with it. Exactly. And do so much with it. And like the rest of your bag is still compounding as usual. But like you have this bag or this allocation that you're using to do like the most insane things. I know that on our Juno outpost right now, you're able to mint LSTs on White Whale with a portion of your Juno staking rewards. And if we had an amazing space with the White Whale team where their co-founder actually broke down tons of ways that you could be earning so much more yield just by having some of these LSTs on White Whale. So like the Osmo and Amp Osmo and all of that fun stuff. Actually, Amp Juno and the Juno and all of that fun stuff. So yeah, I think the outpost is for people that love convenience, but at the same time also want to explore different ways to find yield on Cosmos.
Awesome. So if you wanted to do that strategy, like if you're gonna utilize that new strategy you're offering, can you do a portion of the staking rewards from that that wallet, or does it have to be like 100%? Could I do like 50% and split it off to USDC and then have the rest compounded in my wallet there as part of my staked bag? Or does it have
It has to be one or the other. And like one thing that I like that we have that makes it really simple is after you set all your targets, there's actually a button there that helps you divide your staking rewards like accordingly. So like the percentages, you don't have to worry about that. If you're bad at math like me, you don't have to worry about like trying to figure out how many percent should go to this and that. You can actually just say, hey, Yodmos, these are all the things I want to do. So divide my staking rewards equally amongst all these targets and then run it for me as often as I want.
Wow, that's pretty cool. Yeah. So really opening up some new avenues for people to grow their bags with compounding.
Definitely. The idea is earning should be easy and accessible to as many people as possible. You also shouldn't have to dedicate so much time towards coming back to do things like this or trying to figure out the best time to buy a coin or trying to figure out how to DCA. We're trying to make things as easy and as accessible to all Cosmonauts. And also with the, I want to say landscape on Cosmos, where like the usual thing is for people to get tokens and then lock them up. So we're not like a very liquid ecosystem. So being able or giving people more things that they can do with their staking rewards, that's also something that we're looking at.
I think that's great. Like I have always wanted to be able to do more with my staking rewards other than just, you know, compound it, right? Yeah. Or swap it to something else. Like I also like, you know, I always say it in these spaces and things, I'm a pleb. I like things that make it easier for me. So yeah. I could set up strategies that, you know, once a week or something, once a month, take my stake rewards, right? Compound the portion I want, split the other portion off to USDC so I can invest another asset. Or would I be able to actually compound it to a different token bag? Like if I wanted to say do this with like my Cosmos, right? Take half of my Atom, restake it the way I've been doing this whole time with Yieldmos, take the other half of that staking reward and say swap to let's say stars, because I love stars, right? And then stake that. Will that happen? Will that be something that people can do, all those different steps?
Yes, you can. But so everything would happen automatically. But for you to have that stars that you just swap staked, you would have to come back and activate like a new strategy to auto compound that star. So at the moment, the entire I want to say user journey isn't like fully automated at the moment, just because we need people to be able to set custom grants for everything that they want to do. So if we already swap, sorry, excuse me. If we already swapped your stars and you wanted to get it compounded, you would have to go back and just set up a strategy with us.
Great, great. So like each individual asset you have to set the strategy for,
Yeah.
but you're going to have a lot more options with your assets, with
Definitely,
strategies that
definitely.
you do.
Yeah.
That's cool. How accessible is like the Yieldmost dApp via mobile? Am I able to use that fully on mobile and do all
Yeah.
this stuff that way? How
Yeah.
about this version two stuff that you guys are about to roll out? Is that all going to be mobile accessible as well? Because I love my mobile device.
No, we definitely recognize that. I know that in the last year, some of the things that we worked on was adding support for like Wallet Connect or Kepler Mobile or Leap Mobile. And I don't want to sound biased, but as a user, my favorite Yieldmost mobile experience is on the Leap mobile app. And some of the functionality on the Outpost for Juno isn't like fully supported on mobile. But when we launch the Osmosis Outpost, all of that will be fully supported. So we would have a great experience for our mobile users as well.
Great. I love to hear that. I'm sorry. I'm just trying to get a couple of things for you too. So while you're chatting, I'm trying to find the pertinent stuff. So if it's taking me a minute to bounce back in, I apologize about that, BBU.
Oh, that's great.
Just trying to get like I assume a lot of the people in this space know Yieldmost, and I assume a lot of you may have used it, but I guess that's dumb for me to assume both of those things, right? I guess a lot of my followers have been with me throughout the last couple of years, right? So I assume most of them have seen it, but I am trying to get like just the basic dApp link pinned, right? And things like that. Because if you haven't used Yieldmost, it's a nice tool to have at your disposal. I've used it for several different chains. It's you can correct me if I'm wrong, but like the is it still a 90 day?
Yeah,
Yeah,
default duration. Yeah.
so it's like a 90 day limit, and you can compound your assets for 90 days. It they do a great job of telling you like how much you've earned in that time, right? Like sometimes it's hard for you to see how much extra you've earned, things like that. I every strategy I've ever used with Yieldmost, it's been really easy for me to see how much extra has been added to my wallet through the course of the strategy and also at the very end of the strategy. I find that's better than what a lot of other things are, right? Like sometimes it's a little harder to see exactly how much. Is that like intentional? Are you guys trying to be, like you said, very user-friendly, very open with the users, not custodial, but like Tank always talks about how some of your team is in the United States. So I guess that's where I'm coming to. Is that very intentional for people who are in more like tax hawkish and economically hawkish areas, so they're able to track things a little better? It just kind of one of those things that has stuck out to me when I used your platform.
Yeah, I know that for sure. We are glad that, just having that feature available is helping like people that have to deal with like tax stuff and all of that, helping them navigate all of that stuff. But I don't think that was the driving goal for Kaku and Gio. I think with the way that they've designed Yieldmost, I think that what their goal truly was or truly is to make DeFi less opaque. Where for one, we don't want people locking up assets with us, So for everything or every innovation that we've tried to do in the last 3 years, we've ensured that it remains non-custodial. So you're never going to have to lock up your assets with us. So there's less of a driving force for us to be opaque. So we want everything to be as transparent as possible. We want to carry our community along. We want people to be able to see like what they've earned and see that their funds are safe at all times. And even with the 90-day lockup period, on the Juno outpost, you're actually able to set up a custom duration. So it can be indefinitely. It could be 2 years or a year or as long as you want it to be.
That's great. So it's really, it was all just based out of, like you said, kind of transparency, removing some of the opacity for the user in DeFi. But actually kind of works out well for some of us who have to be a little bit more, you know, tracky with our stuff. So it's great. anyhow, how about one of the things that I wanted to ask about is new chains, new strategies coming? Like, are we about to add any new chains that we can auto compound? Are we getting ready to maybe increase that duration where we can go longer than 90 days on the auto compound? Or is that kind of your guys' happy spot for it? Things like that.
So a couple of new changes are coming, but I know that two things that we're super excited for are the outpost on Osmosis and the outpost on Cosmos Hub. These are literally going to define or redefine what it means to auto compound, what it means to even stake assets on these two chains on, with what's coming, right? And we're very excited for that. We're going to be launching this in the next couple of months, and we're super pumped for that. And I know for one, just even some of the projects on the Osmosis outpost would totally blow everyone's minds away. Like, we have amazing functionality there. We have amazing projects there and just amazing things that people can use. So I think everyone should be super pumped for what's coming on Osmosis and what's coming on Cosmos Hub with Yomos.
Awesome. And how about new tokens or new chains? Are there any new in the pipeline for people that can start auto compounding on those?
So at the moment, I know that we added Saga last month, but at the moment, all of our engineering efforts are really just focused on shipping the Osmosis outpost and getting out the Cosmos Hub outpost.
Awesome, awesome. So really kind of the main infrastructure of IBC and
the
interchain.
We're blocking right now.
That makes sense. Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of bullishness around Osmosis and the growth and building happening there. So I could understand why teams might want to focus on things with that. The Medium article that recently came out, or I don't know if it was a Medium article, but there was a thing in my feed about like Osmosis becoming a Bitcoin L2. And you know, Sunny's talked about that for a long time. So I could completely understand why, if you're building something like of an outpost nature, you would be wanting to focus on some of those like maybe OG infrastructure chains of the IBC, of the Cosmos, especially with what could happen in this cycle, for sure.
Definitely, definitely. And I see that as well. And if any team's going to pull that off, I definitely have all my trust in the Osmosis team and in Sonia as well. They're super amazing guys. And we've collaborated with them a lot over the last couple of months. And it's been such an amazing experience just working with those teams.
Cool, cool. What else did you want to add about this kind of stuff? I have a couple of other questions, but they're maybe changing the topic a little, or, you know, still within the Yieldmost topic. But yeah, you know, so if you wanted to talk more about strategy updates, the outpost, anything like that, feel free.
Definitely. I think two things that would be great to mention is, one, the last 3 years we've been totally free, so we haven't charged any fees. Users haven't had to pay any gas fees while auto-compounding with us. But in the next couple of weeks, we'll be phasing in a fee structure that's still very fair and still very nominal. But we'll be phasing in a free structure for some of our strategies, and it'll go live on the 5th of May, or supposed to go live on the 5th of May. But the idea is that it only starts with the Juno outpost. So for the basic compounding strategies on all the other chains, there are still no fees for now until June. But for the Juno outpost, those fees will most likely be going live this week. But they're still very fair fees. And if you take a look at our pinned tweet, it has all the alpha on the fees that are coming and everything you need to know about fees for your Yieldmost strategies. But the fees are still very fair, and they're only charged on the rewards that we compound. So not on your principal or not on any other assets in your wallet, just on the rewards that we compound for you. So that's something to keep in mind. And one other exciting development is that we have, on our anniversary on the 30th of April, we announced that we're going to be doing an airdrop of our token YMOS to the Osmosis community. So this would be for Osmo stakers. So this is, I guess, huge alpha that a lot of people still don't know. But yeah, you guys should know this. So if you're an Osmo staker, there's an amazing airdrop coming to you. And of course, for all YieldMoss users, there's something great coming to you. And then for our NFT holders as well, the YieldGang Pass holders, there's something amazing coming to you as well. But this would most likely be later on in the year, so most likely Q4 2024.
Bro, are you looking at my list of questions here? you just wiped me out, man.
You just wiped me out.
All right, so let's rewind there. There's a YieldMoss token coming.
Yeah.
Show of hands or show of emojis, who knew of the YieldMoss token? This is the first time I've heard of it.
Oh my god.
So YieldMoss token is coming for Osmosis stakers?
So it's going to be coming for YieldMoss users first, our YieldGang Pass holders, Osmo stakers, and another community that we haven't revealed yet.
Oh, one more community. That's cool. Is that going to be a chain or an NFT?
A chain.
Another chain. Oh, it's going to be Atom, isn't it?
I cannot confirm or deny that.
I mean, like,
it might rhyme with Adam, though. I'm not sure.
I don't know. Anyways, I'm sure everybody would think Adam, right? Like, that's where a lot of that, you know, kind of. What am I trying to say?
It's still the OG.
The OG. It's still the OG. Yeah, exactly. Right. Yeah. Like, you got to show. I don't know what the right word is, but like some gratitude or something.
Yeah.
Sacrifice to the OG chain. But yeah, that's cool. So so the token, is there going to be a chain behind that, or is this going to be a token that governs the platform and the strategies?
So at some point in our roadmap, we wanted to build a chain, and we wanted to build out a chain that could essentially power non-custodial dApps natively, right? So we wanted to build a chain that could support people building out things like YieldMoss or any other dApp, to be honest, but in a manner that's still non-custodial. But at the end of the day, building out a chain requires so much manpower, requires so many resources, and it takes away from the actual thing that we love, which is building like actual products that people can use. So we decided to roll back on the chain. I mean, it might happen at some point in our future, but we figured it was more important to bring out better products or bring out better features for people to use right now. So that's what we're focused on right now. So the token would be on Osmosis. And yeah, that's pretty much what it's going to be for now.
Okay, so it'll be a token deployed on Osmosis. And it'll have some utility on the YieldMoss platform then?
Yeah, it will. So it's, I think the first thing that it is a governance token. And we've seen this sort of play out with choosing the fee structure. So we went through a couple of phases to get into where we are right now with the fees. We started with like a simple discussion, and people gave us what they felt was fair estimates or fair numbers for what these fees should look like. And we took all of those options. So for every fee category, we had at least 4 options that went through a vote. And I know that we're going to see more things like this in the future, where we actually have our community vote on what features we build out next. And for example, if we wanted to build out an outpost, and there were 3 chains, for example, that we wanted to build it on, this would be an opportunity for the community to come together and say, hey guys, we're going to vote for XYZ chain. This is where we want you to put the outpost. And obviously, at some point in the future, we would have discounts for stakers, for YieldMoss stakers. We would have discounts and other, you know, sort of value adds for YieldMoss holders and YieldMoss stakers. But I think the core functionality for the token is governance, and just helping us decide the future and decide our direction.
Cool, that sounds amazing. Any plans, thoughts, discussions around some kind of yield, like a fee sharing type of thing? You know, lock up so much in a vault and you get like real yield from some of the fees generated from the platform or something like that for the YMOS token?
So I envision that this is something that could possibly exist in the future, but it's so easy because it no longer like depends on us. This is something that anyone could propose to governance, and if it gets passed, then it happens. So I think we're on the right track, and we're at a place where the committee would literally decide whatever incentives they want.
That's really cool. So ultimately, it'll be something the community can have a lot of direction over.
Exactly, yeah.
Awesome. And I guess really kind of really puts an exclamation point on y'all's bullishness on Osmosis. Like you said, kind of putting a lot of time, effort into the development of that outpost. Now I really kind of understand why, with the token being deployed there and governance of your platform being deployed there. So there's a lot more coming to Osmosis than just being a DEX at this point, huh?
Definitely. And I think they're well positioned for that. So it's super bullish. We're super excited.
Awesome. So this is more of a nebulous question. It's the one I'd like to finish off with. So I'll give you a chance to kind of say anything else you want to say or wrap up your time here with before I ask it. But yeah, I've got one more.
That was so curious. But thank you so much, Homestead. This was a great space. It was great coming to hang out with True Cosmonauts this morning and sip some coffee and just connect with the community. We've had a great time speaking. I hope that a couple of people listening have learned like new stuff about YoMos, and I guess I've been able to renew your bullishness on us. We definitely need the entire community support, and we're building out amazing things, and we just want you guys to try it out, use it, tell us how you feel, tell us what you hate, tell us what you want to change, and we'll make all of that happen for you. But at the same time, just stay tuned to our updates on Discord, Twitter, join our community. We have amazing stuff happening and so much amazing stuff coming in the next couple of months. But this was great. Thank you so much for having us.
Thank you, bro. All right, here's the last one, nebulous question. Thoughts on the market overall, Web3 overall for the next 6 to 12 months, and how YieldMos will play into that, how YieldMos will grow with it, or, you know, does that make sense?
Makes so much sense, makes a ton of sense. So I don't want to sound pessimistic, but just from some of the stuff that I observed last year, I think that we're due for another major market crash, and that would definitely happen in the next 6 to 12 months. And I see this as a buying opportunity for a lot of people, but I also see it as a holding opportunity for more people. And from my experience in 2023, where we had like a market downturn and a lot of Cosmos assets were under the water, but I remember that one thing that I consistently did as a user actually was just buy assets randomly every other week and auto compound them. And I can tell you for a fact that I'm up by a lot, right? So I think in the next 6 to 12 months, we're probably going to see another market downturn. And you're probably going to want to feel the need to sell. But I think you should hold instead. And if anything, stake some, auto compound it on YieldMos, grow your stake, and wait for the next bull.
Wow. There you go, everybody. BBU with some real, real talk for y'all there. Wow. Bro, I don't know if you've sat in on many pleb spaces, but you know this is supposed to be like fun and rosy in the pleb space.
Oh my God, I killed this
That wasn't the right closeout, bro. Anyhow, no, I love honesty, though. Like, I tend to try and be honest with my audience, right? Like, I tell y'all if I've sold a position or, you know, if I'm into something or what have you. So, absolutely. We got to be honest with ourselves. Like, there could be plenty of reason for the market to have a downturn in the next 6 to 12 months. So yeah, absolutely. Thanks for sharing that thought and kind of giving people, planting that seed, right? Like, you should always, always, always have that in your mind, right? Markets do two things: up, down, or sideways.
And down.
Yeah, be prepared for all of it. So, all right, man. Well, I appreciate your time. Thanks for coming in and chatting a little bit.
Thanks,
Homestead. Dropping some alpha about Wymos. I'm glad to hear the updates, right? Like, you know, I think you were in a space with me, like, gosh, almost a year ago, when you guys were still thinking about doing temporal chain. So
true.
Right. Yeah. So it's cool to hear kind of how the team's pivoted and updated their plans. And certainly, like, there is that thought out there in the space. You see it a lot floated from some people. We don't need necessarily more chains. We can build this kind of stuff on the chains that we have. There's a lot of infrastructure out there that's already very good infrastructure. So yeah, there's nothing wrong with saying, let's do it that way, in my opinion. Cool to hear that update.
Awesome. Awesome. Thank you so much for having us, Homestead.
Thank you, BB.
Have a great day. Shout out to everyone listening. Have a great day, guys. Take care.
Appreciate it. Appreciate your time. Have a good one. All right, friends. Thank you so much, for listening to BBU. Do me a favor, give Yelmos a follow. If not, go click the links and whatnot. I tried to pin some stuff at the top. Right, if you want to go check out the DAP, there's the info about what's happening for like people over on Flix to celebrate the 3-year anniversary, and then I got the pin post regarding the fee structure, guys. So if you want to click on some stuff, go check out more info, please do. I'm trying to invite Ram Exchange up. I see you down there. Are you not getting the speaker invite? I don't know. Maybe Ram, you want to request a speaker invite? I could bring you up as a co if it's giving you difficulties coming up. Oh, it looks like you might have gotten it. There we go. Good morning, Ram Exchange.
GM Homestead, how are you doing?
GM, how are you?
I'm great. Awesome.
Who is this on the handle today?
It's Ferryman.
Awesome. Welcome, Ferryman. Thank you for joining me. Give me a moment. I'm trying to quiet my cockatoo.
Sounds good.
He's I don't know. We had a bear come by yesterday. Everybody's been all spooked since then.
So, oh, really?
Yeah. We had a black bear come check out the chicken coop yesterday.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. But definitely got a lot of noise from the chickens, from the cockatoo, from the dogs. Bear wasn't too put off by any of that. It was definitely interested in checking everything out. So anyhow, thank you so much for joining. We had a great chat last week with Gigi and Tory Punks regarding the upcoming Wool airdrop. I was browsing around this weekend, and there's not a ton out yet regarding RAM. In the link tree, it's just a guide to the website. So I'm going to grab that and get it in the comments at least. But otherwise, welcome, Ferryman. I believe you are one of the founders of Territory, the blockchain. And it looks like on the RAM Exchange webpage, this is coming from the Territory team, the RAM Exchange Real Assets Market. So without any more, you know, delay, I'll let you take over, because otherwise I'm just going to keep fumbling here trying to explain what is going on with Territory and RAM Exchange.
Yeah, thanks for having me. And in fact, I say that RAM is part of the ecosystem growth strategy that we have for Territory. Basically, we have a set of the core team that is dedicated to maintaining, you know, the chain and the first dApps that have been released on Territory OS. Another set is working actively on the Gnoland project. So basically, they are porting contracts to Gnolang. And we also have the subset that is dedicated to RAM Exchange, which is led by Pop, which was at the very beginning, you know, of this Territory initiative. And the whole concept by RAM is to create a liquid secondary market for real world assets. That's pretty much it. because when you think about it, currently you have many, many different RWA projects. For instance, you have pools in which you can invest, collect some kind of GAM tokens and collect some yield out of it. You have some, you know, real estate bonds, primary market like Realty, for instance, but you don't really have this, you know, secondary market that is very liquid, especially for low caps and nano caps. What we're trying to do at the end of the day is really to create a place where investors and issuers can meet, and yeah, making all these assets that are often overlooked, especially in regards to TradFi, more liquid and accessible to anyone.
All right, so that makes sense, you know, kind of on the surface as a whole to me. How does one tokenize one of these real world assets and then make it liquid on a decentralized exchange? Just like break that down in the most pleb speak for me. Like, how do you, I assume, pair it against a stable coin or something like that? But yeah, just break that down real quick.
So there are different ways you can work with issuers, because, you know, sometimes the issuers are already tokenized. Sometimes they're not tokenized, but fractionalized assets. And sometimes we also discuss with some issuers that want to move forward, but, you know, didn't even start fractionalizing their assets. So the idea would be to fractionalize and tokenize assets with NFTs, and think of it as, at the end of the day, it's more like an OpenSea, you know, an NFT marketplace, where instead of buying PFPs, you would be buying, you know, tokenized bonds. So it's as simple as that. And I think this image is a good one, because what we're trying to do is, you know, bring the very user-friendly experience that you get from most NFT marketplaces, but with the gamification aspects that you can see on a Blur, for instance, which recreated an environment for projects and traders to meet up. And yeah, definitely creating way more volume than it used to be on NFT assets.
Interesting. Okay. I think I understand that. So this is actually kind of really exploring one of those different avenues for NFTs that people are talking about. Like, how can we actually utilize NFTs in a more functional manner? All right. So I think I can understand that. The first question that kind of popped into my mind, and I don't know why, maybe it's because I've been goofing off over on Injective with the 404 NFTs or something like that, or maybe it's the way the lab stream swap went, and how we kind of set the floor of mad scientists and lab that way. But I would assume for real world assets, like, there's got to be a bottom price for that, right? How does that get controlled? Like, there has to be a base price, a floor price that the people tokenizing those assets are expecting to get for those, right? So how is that something that is going to be reflected on these, like, tokenized bonds NFTs, tokenized bond NFTs? Like, I'm wondering that, where that value, like, lock is, or how it doesn't just, like, become worthless. I assume, it, like a real world asset, somebody is always going to want to assign some value to it. But again, to me, it feels like there's got to be some kind of, like, base price that is held in place for people that want to take that risk. I don't know. Maybe I'm being too pleb minded about it. But yeah, that's one question that was immediately on my mind.
That's a very good point, because you can think about it like, if you're willing to buy a tokenized asset NFT, generally speaking, the floor price would be the market price of this fraction of the overall asset. And you could also consider, you know, the yield generated from the NFT as part of this floor price. I have an interesting example aside, you know, RWAs. If you look at most play-to-earn concepts, generally speaking, aside if there is a strong buy pressure on the NFT collections, the floor price is directly derived from the dollar value of the rewards you can collect out of it. So I think it's fair to assume that it's going to be pretty much the same, in the sense that the overall asset, which is fractionalized and tokenized, has a fair market value that can shift over time, depending on market conditions, for instance. But that's pretty much the bottom price. And then you have the yield, the underlying yield that you collect out of it. And to give you an example, the very first asset class that we're willing to target will be real estate bonds, because then the yield you collect is generated out of the rental, for instance, so property rental. So it's very easy to, you know, keep track of the yield, anticipate it. And, you know, you could still have, you know, situations where the asset is not being rented all year long, but still you will definitely have an anticipation on the price and the potential, you know, return on investment.
Okay, I think that makes sense. So tokenized bonds via your NFTs, and then the value of those NFTs are coming from the value that that actually has in the real world and the yield that that can provide in the real world. I guess, like, I like it all, right? I love it. How are we going to onboard people to this, I guess, is my thought. Like, what is going to make somebody want to offer their real estate bonds via this method? And I heard what you said in the beginning, so maybe you have some ideas. You said, like, microcaps and things like that don't really have great access to markets and liquidity. So, like I said, maybe you have some ideas on onboarding some of those. But I guess, like, to make it work, we've got to bring the assets in, the asset classes in. So how do you envision that happening?
So initially, we started discussing mostly with non-Web3 companies or issuers. And there was a clear need because, for instance, when it comes to nanocaps, it often costs more than 100K just to list, on Spotify markets. So it's really a pain in the ass for these issuers. And it's not enough, because just being listed is not enough, you know, to catch the attention and to compete against the top players. So the thing is, there is a clear incentive for issuers to list through a decentralized option, because you can definitely, you know, remove the middleman, replace it by a smart contract. So there is a more efficient cost of listing. Another thing to consider is, it's less related to secondary market, but still there are incentives for issuers, because at the end of the day, what issuers are looking for is velocity on their assets and revenue streams, revenues at least. So one thing we've been working on when it comes to tokenomics for RAM Exchange is we created the concept of royalties, the same concept that you would have on regular NFTs. So basically, on every transaction, there is a royalty fee. And this is also based on this royalty fee that the protocol collects a portion of, that we can, you know, fuel this engine of buying back some wool and burning it, making the token deflationary from design. So the idea is to make it easier for issuers to list and be available to traders, but also making it more interesting for them, because they will definitely create a new revenue stream, or at least generate more financial incentives for them than, you know, paying 100K to be listed on a regular exchange. And we also think about, at the beginning, we were also thinking about, you know, the primary market, which is more of a side topic for us now, because we really believe that the end game for RAM Exchange is really to focus on the secondary, and even more when it comes to equity, for instance. Because, you know, generally speaking, you wait between 7 and 10 years to fully exit when it comes to equity deals. Whereas, you know, in the crypto space, you can envision an exit within the 1 to 2 years as a VC if you invest early in a project, for instance. So there is a clear need for more liquidity, you know, more availability. When it comes to the primary market, you can think about a way for issuers to crowdfund the assets, just like, you know, reality works. So I'm not saying that we are going to do the same, but, you know, we envisioned it at the beginning. Now it's more of a side topic for us, but you can clearly see the incentive. Like, you're willing to invest, let's say, in a rental property, you don't have the funds, you can crowdfund it through the community, you know, through a Web3 launchpad concept, invest in the property, and then you distribute the yield to your crowdfund investors. So there are a ton of advantages. It's more cost efficient. It's easier to catch the attention, especially towards a Web3 audience that has liquidity to invest, and that is consistently investing in shitcoins and other projects. But instead, you could definitely buy the real world. And that's pretty much how we intend to play the game. Make it easy for issuers to attract liquidity, make more money out of their assets, and make it easy for traders to access these assets, but also make profit out of it and the gamification that you want to put in place.
Interesting. And so one of the things I was kind of hearing just then is, like, it sounds like not only something where maybe like business entities could tokenize their assets, but an individual could tokenize something, like you said, like a trading strategy, and have people investing in that. So that's an interesting, like, I hadn't really thought about it in that. Again, sometimes my pleb mind gets very bogged down in kind of old world mindsets. I'm going on 40 this year, y'all, so I do have kind of that mindset sometimes. But yeah, that's an interesting thing to hear. There's also, I'm hearing, like, that idea of onboarding Web 2 to Web 3, which seems like a lot of protocols, a lot of projects trying to do that. And the point you made about, like, it's much more efficient to list. There's, like, people can do it for less fees here. So there is maybe some incentive for smaller businesses or smaller investors to look into this avenue. That's actually a cool way to look at it and potentially onboard people to it. Can we talk about the WOL token, I guess, and how that plays into all of this?
Yes, sure. It's part of the whole concept. If we want to, talking about the issuers, make it less expensive, easier for them to be listed. We provide them with an audience. But in order to provide them with an audience, we need this audience of traders, and we need liquidity. So the deal is, WOL is the easiest way for us to do it, because what we're trying to do is create a concept just like the one gamification system you've seen on Blur, for instance. The idea is to correlate the volume that you are going to trade on the platform to the rewards that you're going to collect out of the protocol. So there are two aspects to it. First one is, basically, the more volume you create on the platform, on the protocol, the more rewards you're going to collect. And every time you do transactions, since there is this royalty fee on each TX, the protocol is going to collect a part of it, buy some wool and burn it. So by design, the token is going to be deflationary, despite the fact that we're going to distribute rewards. On the other end, we have something called the smart trading program, and the concept is about creating some tiers with perks on the platform. So, for instance, reduced fees could be early access to some asset classes, or time-sensitive access to other assets. And in order to access these perks, what you're going to do is lock some WOL token. And think of it like maybe Traveler, which is a platform that allows you, to book some flights, to book hotel rooms using crypto. And they have this concept of, locking their token. They have different tiers with it, different perks. They have some buyback as well. And the idea is to reduce the secreting supply at the same time that we're going to burn the token. So we really ensure that the token is deflationary, and we make a positive price action for WOL, while being able to reward, the traders and also the partners. And by partners, what I mean is, since we want to have many, many assets listed on the platform, we're currently discussing with, issuers that are going to list, let's say, for 5 to 10 million worth of assets on the platform. But we're also discussing with other, quote unquote, partners that are themselves working with different issues. So for instance, we are discussing with a French company at the moment, and these guys have helped many different companies in France tokenizing their assets on the primary market only. So they don't have this secondary market, which we want to provide them with. And they tokenized at about $100 million of assets. So, you know, by incentivizing, you know, this kind of partners, we can also make sure that we accelerate, you know, on listing many different assets, making the market more liquid and more attractive to traders.
Okay, that makes sense. And so, I mean, hearing your initial discussion about how a lot of this will be done through NFTs kind of tied in what I learned last week from Gigi and Tory Punks and all of that discussion about how a lot of this airdrop is allocated towards the NFT communities on Territory, on Tory, rewarding those communities at the loyal users. And kind of what you just said is you need to have some traders come in to help create the volume when this platform opens. So I can understand there where you're bringing in those folks who have been using the platform, trading on it, using it right now through these last couple of years. So that's cool. You said the plan is for this to be deflationary, even though there will be some rewards with this buy and burn. So that's cool. How will the rewards be allocated out? I'm sorry if I missed that in that discussion.
It will be basically, you have multiple ways of thinking about it, but the easiest way to avoid crazy dynamics when it comes to reward distribution would be a leaderboard concept, just really similar to what happened with Blur, I'd say. So the idea is that the more volume you create, the more points you earn, and then you have, you know, XYZ positions to be in the money, in the sense that you're going to collect rewards out of the leaderboard. And then you have a linear split of the rewards to be distributed among, you know, the top traders. So that's going to be evolutive over time. And the beauty of it is also that since we're going to have many different assets listed on the platform, a sidewall as a reward, and in the same way that we're going to airdrop, you know, Territory NFTs and maybe other projects too with World Token, we can also envision, you know, other rewards for the traders. So it's still very early to talk about it, but the point I'm trying to make is, as long as you have this this token design live, where you can create incentives for issuers to list their assets, traders to come and provide liquidity, trade the assets, partners to join as well, and, you know, accelerate on the listings, you can definitely fuel it with different kind of rewards over time.
Yeah, cool. So I kind of, you like gamification, don't you? I'm just like rewarding the top traders, rewarding different tiers of traders with different levels of rewards. Like, you like gamification. So there's going to be different ways to interact here, to be rewarded here. But really, Territory is looking for active users and traders and people who are, is that right? Like, the idea is, you know, what you're saying, like the gamification side of things, you're really trying to pull in those folks who really want to use the platform, trade on a platform, create volume. That's the goal.
Yeah, I mean, there are different kind of gamifications. You know, you could reward vanity metrics. For instance, there are many such campaigns where what's rewarded is, you know, the engagement on socials, for instance. We've seen this a lot with GameFi projects recently. It's interesting, especially if you want to create some noise about the project at first, but what really matters most is the real metrics, which are related to TVL, you know, on-chain volume, UAW. And I personally think that, you know, gamification is one thing, but at the end of the day, project lasts because the product rocks. So if you consider Blur, again, is a very good example of this to me, because initially, you know, OpenSea definitely had the whole NFT market on Ethereum. What happens is, okay, now you have a subset of the users that are, you know, big wallet traders that don't want to buy and sell NFTs one by one. They want to buy 10 by 10, 100 by 100, and they're really flipping to make a buck out of it. And so what you do is you provide them with the proper UI for them to do it. So of course, you're going to use gamification at first to create the initial noise, to create some awareness to attract these guys. But at the end of the day, the product lasts because it's good and because the experience is good. So I really believe that if we manage to create sufficient noise, you know, attract users, attract traders at the beginning through the gamification concept, and we make it sustainable because we consider tokenomics the gamification to us is not just a side topic. It's really part of the whole concept. So it has to be aligned with the tokenomics. It has to be sustainable. So considering it, the idea is really to create the conditions for us to make sure we refine the product enough for it to be, self-sufficient to onboard new traders over time. Don't know if it makes sense, but gamification is not just a fancy word or a fancy tool to us. It's more like a core concept that we want to implement. And it's not all of the concept. At the end of the day, it's what you need to get the first users. But then it's also the product that's going to make the difference. And so we intend to refine it so much that we don't even need gamification over time, even though we'll still do it so we can perform over time.
That makes sense. It totally makes sense. And the point you're making, like in the beginning of needing that marketing, needing that appeal, needing that hype, right? Like needing that to drive things early on. You're absolutely right. Like, and this is the time to be recognizing that, you know, projects need that when they're starting out. And so having that, like you said, gamification to help really drive some of that engagement, some of that awareness, it helps. You can see a lot of projects doing different things like that right now, bounty programs, engagement programs, things like that. And it's definitely, like I said, kind of the right time for people to be doing that as things are a little bit more, activity is a little bit more increased right now, for sure. Just clarifying, from what it sounds like, everything here, this is being built like on top of Tori. It's going to be like L2 type of thing. It's not going to be its own chain, or am I incorrect?
So it's a very important point as well, because a few months back, I think we published a post trying to break down the strategy that we had for the territory ecosystem growth. And we make a clear split between the chain itself, territory network, and territory OS, which is more of the overall experience that we want to provide through the dApp. And the point being, on territory network, we're talking about projects, smart contracts, assets that are strictly listed on territory network. But when it comes to territory OS, we also have other blockchains that are linked to the dApp. Like, for instance, you can create a multisig on any IBC network. We also have a few Ethereum dApps that are listed there. And one of the strategies that we have for RAM is to probably release on top of an EVM layer 2. The reason being, this is the fastest way, the easiest way for us to attract liquidity and users from a way broader pool than the whole Cosmos. Not saying that there is no liquidity and users in Cosmos, but to be honest, we figured that it would be probably smarter to try and address this broader market first. So then ultimately we can also, you know, retarget, drive some of this traffic, these users, this liquidity towards Cosmos and territory network. And it's not the only project or the only strategy that we are putting in place in order to do so. Like, for instance, we're going to launch a new market on Uniswap in a few days. And the idea is also to do the same for the Tori token, because, you know, we have this bridge through XLR. We're going to use it because we're going to reward, you know, the Riot holders through the play to earn concept that we released a while back, which is on Polygon, but we're also going to create a market on another layer two. And yeah, at the end of the day, when it comes to Territory OS and the broader ecosystem, we're not just thinking about the chain itself, but you know, every strategic piece that makes sense in order to acquire these users, this liquidity, and strengthen the whole ecosystem.
Cool. Yeah, man. Gigi was in here talking about some of that the last couple of weeks. And like, I remember when Territory launched, there was a lot of talk about, you know, onboarding EVM, connecting EVM, things like that. So yeah, like it's cool to hear and see it starting to like really unfold and be put in place. I tried to grab a couple of those Tory, like off the Territory handle things for y'all and pin them up to the top. So if any of the listeners need to check something out up there about what Ferryman was just talking about for some of the roadmap and stuff, and deploying liquidity on Uniswap, really cool stuff, like continuing to build that whole thing out and continuing with that vision that has been like almost 2 years now. Has it been that long since the first, like, the beginning of the Tory airdrop for NFTs on Stargaze? Like, it's been a bit. It certainly feels like it to me. And here you are still building these things out and pushing forward with your vision. I think that's pretty cool. And like what you're saying about like liquidity in the cosmos and needing to kind of reach out and bridge in liquidity from other places. And it's true. And like you've got that mindset and that idea of what you want to do, and you're continuing to execute. So I think that's really cool. All this stuff you're kind of talking about, like you're trying not to skew too far into talking about Territory. It's like we could have another space down the road and just dedicate it to all the things around Territory and the Territory operating system ecosystem. Like, there's a lot going on. So here's a question I have. Because this is experimental stuff that RAM is working on, different forms of yield generation for users is experimental financial stuff. Where do you stand on geo-gating, sir?
Interesting. It's very simple for the moment when it comes to RAM, because what happens is what we do as RAM core team is we provide technology. So the point is issuers are responsible for the assets that they list. So let's say you are an issuer from the US and you need to respect certain legislations in regards to the US. Then you can say, okay, these assets will be only available to these particular countries, for instance, or you know, these particular users. And same goes for any issuer. So we are not, as a platform, you know, defining the rules for everyone. It really depends on the issuers. And something I forgot to mention as well is that we have both a KYC for the users, for the traders, and the KYB for the issuers. And one of the most important aspects of the early days of RAM Exchange is for us to really make sure that we strictly curate, you know, the first issuers. So we can also provide some kind of, a trusted place for traders to join in, you know, and discover new assets, because it's very important. If we fail to do it from the start, then it's not going to work anymore. So we really need to make sure that we only work with trusted issuers, and even more than that, to be honest. Even though we started discussing with many, TradFi/Web2. Companies that we'd like to list on the platform, we believe that the first ones, especially on the secondary market, because you know everyone's excited on the primary market, but it's not the main focus for RAM Exchange, and it's many constraints that come with it. On secondary markets, we're pretty sure that the first partnerships, you know, the first issues that we're going to announce will be very well-known projects from the space. Because it's always easier to start with Web3 native projects, you know, especially as you say, it's experimental finance. So there is a lot of unknown that comes with it. So yeah, it's very important that you work with trusted issuers. Probably you will all know, you know, the first ones that will be announced as partners that will be listing their assets on the platform. And then each issuer, depending on their local legislations, will be able to either show or hide, you know, their assets towards certain countries.
Really cool. I like the answer there. It's pretty diplomatic. It's like, you know, we're not going to force compliance, but we want you to be compliant with your locality, and you should do that so you can be safe. So I like that aspect, and I like what you're saying too, like really looking out for safety, security on both sides of the user spectrum here, the issuers, the buyers, things like that. So I think that's, you know, we can talk about all that kind of stuff, right, and have the discussion about it. To some degree, it's needed and necessary, especially with something like this. I'd say there needs to be a degree of safety, a degree of security for people buying these types of things. So it's good to hear that you guys are taking all these things into account. I'm not surprised to hear that this is kind of well thought out, because again, like I just said, this whole territory thing has been built out for the last couple of years, you know, through the bear market and all of it. So obviously you've been putting in some thought, and your team has been putting in a lot of thought. And so I like it. I like what I'm hearing overall. It is experimental stuff. It's cool to think about the different ways we can use NFTs. It's really cool. Like, I don't know, Ferryman, like what your background is, but like you, like everything about Territory is tied back to NFTs. Like the first airdrops, the first launch of Territory stuff, like platform itself was like the Territory launchpad and NFT marketplace. Here we go with the first like thing being deployed in the Territory ecosystem and airdropping back to a lot of those NFT communities. What is your background in NFTs? You must have a big background there.
My background is, you know, I'm a marketing guy more than a dev myself. You know, prior to Territory, we used to run an agency with some of the Territory co-founders. Not all of them, because another side of the team was working on another project called Bertie, which is a peer-to-peer messenger protocol, which will be available on Territory soon, by the way. And what we used to do as an agency was help mostly Web2 brands, you know, launch their projects. So many NFT projects, a few dApps, a few other protocols. And currently, you know, I try to dedicate most of my time to Territory, RAM, and the other projects around, like Burn Capital, the Riot as well. But I also do a little bit of advisory towards other projects. And I'd say that most of what I do is I help founders better understand the market they're trying to target, because there are many misconceptions when it comes to, you know, the overall space, current state. Like, at the end of the day, it's mostly a space of investors. There are not that many users, so you need to deal with it. It's going to evolve over time. You know, over time we'll reach, you know, a certain mass of users in the space, that you will definitely have people that are less interested in token and price action and more interested in the product. But at the moment, it's not the case, so you need to deal with it. And I also spend a lot of time, you know, working on gamification strategies and yeah, mechanisms for other projects as an advisor. So that's why I like gamification so much. And yeah, honestly, I had the chance to work on many different topics. And it's not that type, you know, I'm an NFT maximalist, but I like NFTs for many reasons. I think, honestly, NFTs made a big difference, because for the first time, you had smaller communities with more engagements in regards to, you know, community centered around the token, for instance. You had more organic, you know, conversations, engagement in these communities. I also believe that another ecosystem that I like a lot personally is Solana, and I really believe that Solana managed to sustain during the bear, especially with so low prices. Because of that, partly because you had so many different NFT communities that were still active on socials, still on Spaces, still on Twitter. So I like the fact that you can have these small villages through NFT communities, and I find it interesting. And now I believe it's the time for NFT to reach a new stage where you can experiment with new stuff, RWA, for instance. At some points, with some projects we advised in the past, we tried to do some, real-world assets linked to NFTs, but more like, okay, you get an NFT, you're going to redeem either merch or, an art piece, for instance. So I know there are a ton of innovations and things you can try out with NFTs. And I don't think it's just, a trend or, something that's going to disappear. Just new behaviors, new patterns are going to be discovered over time. And I just want to give it a try as well. Just want to put my two cents in it.
That's awesome. That's really awesome. I like to hear it. I'll echo what you said about how NFTs maybe kept Solana alive. There's a ton of people who got into the Cosmos ecosystem last cycle that stayed because of Stargaze. I'm one of them. I know there's a lot of other people that echo that feeling on X plenty of times. I've seen that. Like NFTs really, they do create a certain community and culture. And like you said, like the organic interactions you can have in those communities are really cool. You can meet some fun people. And you can actually people in these NFT spaces say it a lot, right? Like sometimes your Web3 bros are like closer friends than you're in real life bros. Like you can really get to know people in some of these spaces and some of these communities. And it's good stuff. Like it definitely, in a time when the world seemed to be closing off a lot, I think NFTs were there for a lot of people. And it doesn't seem like the world's opened up a lot since then, right? And NFTs are still here for some of us. And, I see Gigi in the audience, I think NFTs kind of kept him in the game a little, gave him a place to go, gave him a place to, he's talked about how, go full-time into Web3 because of some of this stuff. And just knowing the right communities and having supportive communities. So yeah, it's cool stuff. I guess anything else you want to say specifically about RAM before I do final question?
We're going to share more detailed documentation in a few days. Until now we're playing around with the RAM, with the memes. Video content as well, made by Yakub, by the way, which is the chief video officer for RAM, Territory, the Riot, etc. But another thing that we wanted to do is, there are many RWA projects that are being built by mostly teams that come from a TradFi background. And since we really want to target Web3 users, investors at first, we wanted to make a difference when it comes to branding and positioning. So we want to have this, different approach when it comes to content. But still, we need to also show that we can, provide some more detailed explanation. So yeah, in a few days from now, we'll be sharing some documentation on the mechanisms, the smart contract standards that we're working with, because we also need to be able to wrap some assets that are already listed, and sometimes they're not even NFTs. So we've been working on such solutions. And another thing maybe is, stay tuned, because in a few days from now, we'll be also announcing, the first partnerships that we've been working on. It's very important because it's the first step toward having many assets listed on the platform. And once we, you know, we can move forward with the partnerships, we'll be able to move forward with the community, the users, the traders. So stay tuned, and yeah, you should like it, hopefully.
Actually, I guess since you said that about partnerships, I have two questions left. One, is there any way for any other NFT communities to make some noise and get into this airdrop? Or is it kind of pretty well decided on who's in it? Like, and like territory dropped to so many Stargaze NFTs. I guess my thinking is, was that the onboarding? They had their chance to be here for it. Or is there still some thought of other communities like that? And again, maybe active communities, loud communities could make some noise and get heard.
Very good question. Honestly, we still have some margin for the airdrop. At the moment, what we're thinking about is maybe we could put some weight on it in regards to some of the drops that were announced already, like for the Tory stakers, for instance. And, you know, the reason for, I think it's a third or, you know, kind of a third, around a third of the airdrop being directed towards the territory ecosystem and the communities around, is because we wanted to show that even though, you know, the project is going to be targeted towards an EVM audience, it's part of the broader territory ecosystem. And we also wanted to show love to, you know, the early supporters and contributors from territory. So we still have some margin, this being said. And what we're thinking about now is we're probably going to use this margin to airdrop partners, and you know, we could envision NFT communities as being partners, but we want to make sure that we are not missing out on a potential partnership with an issuer, for instance, first. And once we'll be done with the first partnerships, you know, being closed, then we can, you know, discuss what's going to happen with the remaining airdrop supply. So discussion's still open. But we first need to consider, you know, the partnerships that we're working on, and then we can, you know, discuss further.
Excellent, excellent. That all makes sense. And certainly, like what you said about rewarding the territory community makes sense. But also that bit about, like, hey, there might be an issuer that you want to have some reserve for. And certainly having some airdrop allocation to work with, right? Like, it's kind of like marketing budget, right? Like, not handicapping yourself in that sense. It makes, you know, it makes total sense in preparing for that stuff down the line. The last question was gonna be the same one I asked BBU. Your thoughts on crypto market Web3 overall in the next 6 to 12 months, and how RAM fits into that picture.
So, it's interesting because a few days ago, I was discussing with a friend of mine, which is more of a trader than I am, honestly. And, you know, I was anticipating the opening of this new Uniswap pool for Tori. And he was telling me, look, if I'm right, Bitcoin is probably going to hit, you know, 50K, hit the new support. So you should wait, you know, a couple more weeks before launching the market. And then, you know, we move forward with a Bitcoin cycle. And so there will be a rotation of liquidity from us to Bitcoin until it reaches new ATH. Now we see that the market is not going that way. So it's more bullish than we thought a few days ago, which means we're going to open the market sooner than we thought. But yeah, I think I'm probably wrong, but I think, you know, we're going to see a stronger BTC dominance in the upcoming months, which means some liquidity is going to rotate from ADS to Bitcoin. But once we get past that point, we're definitely ready to go for the bull run. And even though we can get, you know, still, you know, market downtrend, you know, I'm not worried too much, especially considering RAM, because it's even a surprise for me that people are so bullish on RWA during bull market, in the sense that to me initially I was more thinking about creating some kind of hedge for the bear market investors, so they don't fully exit the market, you know, to go into TradFi or something else. But now I see that people are still bullish even though it's a bull market. So I mean, either way, it's a good market condition for this kind of project, I think. And at the end of the day, we can't just, you know, the market is going to move one way or another, but we should strictly focus on building. Of course, we need to consider it, you know, for big announcements, listings, and so on. But I'm not too stressed about it.
Sure, makes sense. I hear you, right? Like, you kind of have to, if you're building something and you're planning to launch, you have to kind of take market into account a little bit, but not stress out about it. Make your plans and go ahead with it. Certainly, what you were just saying about the pool and whatnot, though, and now how, like, it was looking like we might need to test support at 50, and now, like, all of a sudden, end of the week, weekend, things turn looking bullish all of a sudden. And, like, you know, we could just flip right back. Like, we're in that kind of chop part of the cycle, right, where AA could just flip right back the next day or next week. So, yeah, who knows exactly how things are going to go over the next few weeks or months, right? Because it does seem very choppy right here where we are. And, you know, that kind of harkens back to what BBU was saying in the first half of the space, which is it's a great time to be holding and compounding with yield most strategies. And you know where you can do that with your territory. I think you can compound it on yield most, if I'm not mistaken. So, in fact, I think mine is actively auto compounding right now. So, anyhow, wow, what a great tie-in for the whole space there. Anyway, I guess there's a lot to wrap your head around with RAM, with this whole territory operating system ecosystem. If anybody out there has a question, you want to throw up a quick hand, quick mic request, feel free. anybody wants to have a question for Ferryman about RAM or anything. I don't think I have anything really, was just wanting to chat with you a little, kind of hear what's going on with RAM, what the idea behind it is. As you said, documentation's not fully out yet, right? So everyone go ahead and follow the handle, right? And be aware, be on alert when that documentation comes out. Whether it's tokenomics, white paper, things like that, that stuff's all coming. So you'll want to DYOR when it does. So make sure you give a follow. Anybody want to ask any questions? All right. Well, I guess that you're off the hook then, Ferryman. Thank you so much for joining and giving me a little bit of your time today, hanging out and chatting. I appreciate it. Appreciate finding out a little bit about what the thought and idea here is with RAM. It's cool stuff. It's different stuff. It's experimental stuff. And I love the idea of we can do things with NFTs. We can push this space forward. I like, gosh, one of your very last statements there about, like, this is actually something that could help with bearish times and keeping people in the market and keeping liquidity here, as opposed to just exiting to TradFi and things like that. So, really, like, if you guys didn't catch all of what Ferryman had to say today, you should go back and listen. There's a lot of thought put into what's going on here. And like I said, you could tell, like, territory has been built through this whole long bear cycle. There's a lot of thought going into it. There's some idea, there's work, building, things like that. So give a follow, be ready for when the documents come out, right? Or if there's socials that open up, right? We can go and raid the socials, help create a nice community for the project as it launches, right? Nice supportive community. Every project needs that as they're launching. And don't forget, seriously, like and repost is one of the biggest things you can do if you want to help a project. Besides investing with your own assets, right? But you don't always have assets that you want to invest or are able to. But seriously, just supporting socials with a like, repost, a comment helps projects so much. And if you want to support projects, that's a great way too. I don't know, y'all. Do we want to have any chat about Stargaze stuff today or anything else going on? I can. We've got time. But I don't know if I had a ton prepared. There's things happening in the space. I saw the conspiracy culture floor prices going up. So I'm not sure if y'all need to check into that a little bit. I see Whale Mom down there. The Glintar token is coming, you guys, the GLY token. That is going to have some utility within that Glintar app, DApp. So if you have Glintar NFTs, hold them, please. That floor price is going up as well. Apparently, there's going to be like a farming period on the Glintar DApp before the airdrop happens. So even if you, I guess, don't have NFTs, you might still be able to farm some airdrop for the GLY token. It's going to be like missions, like using the sweeper bot and interacting on the platform and things like that. They're going to get you points, right? So you can farm the GLY airdrop. And then after a farming period, there's going to be the airdrop to the farmers, NFT holders, Glintar NFT holders. And I don't know if the founder, he may or may not airdrop to some other communities, or that's still something he's deciding on from the last time I spoke with him. So again, if you wanted to make some noise, communities, there's potential there. But then that GLY token is going to be utilized on the platform, y'all. It's going to be something that you have to use the sweep bot, to use the mint bot. The mint bot is going to have a minimum GLY token to use it. And then when you do, it's going to burn GLY token. So there's some thought going into that token and how that community is building. So again, if you've got Glintar NFTs, hold them. If you haven't interacted, go to the Discord, right? And find out more, because you might be missing out on some good stuff. I'm trying to pin something here in case anybody needs it, but I'm sure, like, you know, I've pinned Glintar stuff here a few times. Y'all should know how to get to the Glintar handle, but there's their pin post. You can get there and get their socials if you need to. And that's also, I think, the marketplace if you needed a Glintar. I don't know what else I had, guys. I didn't have a ton of other alpha things. I think Doki Army drops this week. I did a whitelist giveaway for that, so I did want to do a shout out for them. I think that will be Friday. And then I was just toggling over to see if this week's featured projects were listed yet for Freshman Friday this week. Not yet. So once those go up in the Stargaze Discord, I can get that all posted on my X and things like that, so people might know. If you know already, go ahead and post it in the comments or whatever, and I can repost once we shut down the space, so we can start making a little bit more awareness out there for this week's featured projects. I feel like that's one of the things we can all do more leading into Freshman Friday. Like I was just saying, just hit the repost button a little bit more and we can help all of our Stargaze projects. Yeah, I don't know. Anybody? I'm going to do a last call. If you all want to come up and say anything. Otherwise, I'm going to go get out in my garden for a little bit before I got to pick up my daughter. Yeah. All right, cool. It's been a great Monday. Thank you all for joining me. Thank you so much to my guests this week. Yieldmost, great chatting with you and getting the alpha there. Same for you, Ram. I really appreciate your time, fair man. I assume you're super busy with all that's going on. Maybe we can get a follow-up space or something. Or like I said, just a chat around territory, the whole thing set up in the future. It sounds like you're working on a lot, man. And I'd love to give you, you know, more amplification, more audience, more, you know, room to speak. I don't know. Some of the smaller projects here in the IBC don't get as much recognition as they should, don't get a stage as often as they should. Gigi was mentioning that to me in the DMs recently. So yeah, I don't mind. I don't mind at all. Come chat with me anytime y'all are free. And everybody here, like listening, things like that. If you have projects out there you think should come chat, like I said, they don't get enough amplification. They don't get a stage when it's a bigger space. Tag them in the comments. Tag them in their Discords or whatever. Please let them know I got this space running. Anybody can come. You don't even have to schedule, right? Just come request a mic one day. Share updates, whatever. I don't mind. But yeah, let's shut it down. Thank you for joining me this Monday, everybody. I really appreciate it. I really do. Everybody, keep doing your thing out there, right? Be kind, be well, and keep farming your dreams. Flip some NFTs, of course. I gotta say, go out there and flip some NFTs. But yeah.
Motherfuckers screaming out loud, looking for mercy before they find themselves working a corner down in Jersey. What could be worse? Misrepresenting the first come first serve mentality stuck in the burbs. I'll be numbing up first before discovering what works, and we'll see what other kinds of trash is under the dirt. We rape them under the earth, sit and wonder about the worth and play. Ring around the rosy while the thunder is served. Motherfuckers walking around here looking faceless, trying to make a living selling friendship bracelets. Dead ends dragging out the max amount of payment. Red down days, got them acting all bankless. Yo fam, what? Check these tokenomics. They probing this bear, flexing broken honest. I had to lay my soul down, I'm just roasting otters. And then to end a long day, 11 bowls of chronic. Never known the politic, I was born to frolic. It's been my policy to pollinate all over the plot. We got a lot of apologists jumping in at the top. We like to measure their velocity before they hit rock bottom. Over impossible loss, it's all moss. And I'm liking the odds, fondue in the morning, forming mycological bonds. Flick the cap, yo, the road is highly involved. Flip a coin, diary falls. Motherfuckers screaming out loud, looking for mercy before they find themselves working a corner down in Jersey. What could be worse? Misrepresenting the first come, first serve mentality stuck in the burbs. I'll be numbing up first before discovering what works, and we'll see what other kinds of treasures under the dirt. We rape them under the earth, sit and wonder about the worth and play. Ring around the rosy while the thunder is served. Trying to figure out the max amount of denolay, stacked in non-toxic just to get a better place. Smacking on the hostage like the shit is play for keeps. Clowns, white knight, and all these Maybellines. They call it implausible when model after model keeps on ripping off the coat and going full throttle. Beats tearing apart your community. All these low-hanging fruits bearing zero liquidity. Got a planet in reach, coming standard to each. I'm on the back 10, stargazing after the siege. Commanding all the management to grab a few Z's, and then we'll round up the beasts and send a messenger east. Y'all better sign a release when I'm bumping these beats. Hands up if I got motherfuckers drumming the streets. Yo, we got a few dubs, we got a couple defeats, and if you're coming for the king, you better have some of each. Motherfuckers screaming out loud, looking for mercy before they find themselves working a corner down in Jersey. What could be worse? Misrepresenting the first come, first serve mentality stuck in the burbs. I'll be numbing up first before discovering what works, and we'll see what other kinds of treasures under the dirt. We rape them under the earth, sit and wonder about the worth and play. Ring around the rosy while the thunder is served.
Channel Spaces.